Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, hello and welcome to the Coach's Corner. I've got to tell you, I feel more at home right here than I ever have standing on a stage. If you know me, this is where I've spent the majority of my life, in a gym like this as a player and then as a football coach. And I just have to give a quick shout out right now to CrossFit Houghton for opening up their gym, allowing us to come in and film this series here. Well, hey, as we make our way through the series, this is what I want you to picture in your mind. You know, between every boxing round, there's a coach that meets with the boxer right there in the corner. And the coach meets with the boxer for two reasons. One is instruction, and the other is inspiration. Come on, the coach gets there and he's saying, hey, come on, you got to watch the right hook. Get that left hand up. Get that left hand up. And then there's the coach slapping the boxer in the face, going, come on, you got this. You got this. Get out there. You can take him down. You can knock him out. And come on, that's what I'm going to be doing for you in the next few weeks. I'm going to be giving you some practical instruction. Come on, I'm going to be telling you, hey, get that left hand up. Get that left hand up. Come on, don't get knocked out by that right jab. All right, and I'm going to be telling you, slapping you in the face. Social distance, of course, okay? Social distance. But I'm going to be slapping you in the face saying, come on, you got this. You can do this. You can win this fight. But come on, before we go another minute, we got to say our declaration, because this helps us get in the mindset and the posture to receive everything that God has for us today. Come on, why don't you put your hand over your heart right now? Say it with me. I am a child of God. I am loved, adored, and accepted by my Father in heaven. I am forgiven and free. Sin has no hold on me. I am an overcomer, more than a conqueror, full of the Spirit of God, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see, my ears to hear, my mind to understand, and my heart to receive everything that God has for me today. In Jesus' name, come on, put a big amen on that today. You know, this has been and continues to be very challenging times. You know, everyone is feeling the strain at some level. It doesn't matter how old you are, how mature you are, or how long you have walked with Jesus. Everybody is feeling the tension of this time. Now, we're all feeling it in different ways. Some people are feeling that financially, some physically, some mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally. But everyone is being impacted during this time of COVID-19. But just because you feel it does not mean that you have to fold under it. Just because you feel the tension doesn't mean that you have to fold because of the tension. You see, don't let this disruption in your life lead to the destruction of your life. It doesn't have to be this way. You see, normally in times like this, I like to go back to this truth. This is what I always go to, that this isn't the first difficult time that the world has ever faced. This is not the first challenge that humanity has ever walked through. And because they made it, so can I. So can I. Come on, I feel like if you're watching on Facebook right now, you just need to hit that heart. Let some of those hearts fly right now. If you agree with that and you're watching right now on YouTube, just type yes. Type so can I. Simply knowing that because somebody else made it through difficulty, you can make it through difficulty as well. The outcome of our life depends so much more on what happens in us than what happens to us along our journey. Come on, let me just say that to you again. The outcome of your life is going to depend so much more on what happens in us than what happens to us along our journey. You may be saying, Philip, that's easy for you to say. you don't know what I have been through in these last couple of months. And while that might be true, that does not negate the truth. The truth that the outcome of your life is going to be more determined by what happens in you than what happens to you. See, we have all heard stories about people who have faced devastation, and yet they came out of it and were able to accomplish so much in life. And you say, how? How have they been able to do that? Listen, it's not because they got lucky. It's not because they possess some talent that you don't. No, instead, it's because they did not allow their current devastation to keep them from reaching their ultimate destination. They didn't allow what happened to them to define them. Instead, they let something great happen in them, and that propelled them and pushed them into the destination of their life. Now listen, I'm not saying that it's not tough right now, but I am saying that you are tougher. I am not saying that it's not tough, but I am saying that you are tougher. Come on, you ought to be putting an amen on that. You ought to be hitting that heart right now. Come on, hearts ought to be flying all over the screen. Thumbs up right now. Come on, just put a little flex emoji in there. Come on, just let somebody know, I am tougher. I am tougher. Yes, it's tough, but I am tougher. I am not quitting. I am not giving up. I will push through this season because I am tougher than this season. I've discovered in life that our lives are typically molded by one of two things. Our lives are either molded by external pressure or internal power. External pressure or internal power. Let me just break that down for you. External pressure is found in two ways. And the first is peer pressure. Peer pressure is the pressure to conform that comes from people. Now, typically when we think about this, we think about like teenagers. We think about drugs and alcohol and those types of things. But can I tell you that peer pressure exists within society? Peer pressure exists within your work culture. There is peer pressure in our world today, and that peer pressure is trying to get you to conform. There is a peer pressure just to be average. There is a peer pressure for you just to be ordinary. There is a peer pressure for you not to be too happy or too optimistic. There is a peer pressure for you to be discontent right now because other people are discontent and other people are unsatisfied and other people are unhappy. And so they want you to be like them, and we feel that external pressure of peer pressure. But there's also another pressure that we feel, and that is near pressure. You say, what is near pressure? That is the pressure you feel to conform that comes from the situation that is near you, the circumstance that you find yourself in. You see, each and every one of us understand that in our current circumstances are putting some pressure on us, and that pressure can be to give up or surrender your priorities, to surrender your goals, to surrender your values, to surrender your dreams. There is some pressure that comes in, and it is trying to crush our hope, to cause us to live hopeless, to live in despair. You see, there is pressure that comes from the world. There's an external pressure, that peer pressure and that near pressure. And we find this in the scripture. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not conform. Do not allow the pressure, the peer pressure, or the near pressure that this world puts on you. Don't let that conform you. Now let's look for just a second at the internal power, because we say, okay, well, I don't want external pressure molding me. I want to be molded by internal power. Okay, what does that look like? Once again, two things real quick. The first is willpower. Say, what is willpower? Willpower is defined as the ability to resist temptations in order to meet long-term goals. The ability to resist temptation in order to meet long-term goals. It's simply the ability to control yourself. You see, whenever I feel that peer pressure, whenever I sense that near pressure that's coming from my situation, I can always choose willpower. I love what James Clear says in his book, Atomic Habits. He says, research supports the notion that willpower and the ability to delay gratification are vitally important for a successful and productive life. The ability to delay gratification, the ability to live with willpower, it is vitally important for us to live a successful and productive life. So that is one kind of power. Now listen, if you are not a follower of Christ, that is the only internal power you have. However, if you are a follower of Christ, if you have decided to give your life to God, you have another power. And it's not just willpower, but it's feel power. Come on, you know I had to do it to you. Feel power, you're thinking, what is that? That is the power of the Holy Spirit that fills us. Come on, isn't that what the scripture says? The scripture says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is now dwelling in you? Doesn't the Bible say in Galatians chapter 5 that the Holy Spirit will produce this fruit in your life? Love, joy, peace. It goes through a whole bunch of other things and it ends with self-control. That the fill power, the power filling us, the power of the Spirit of God in us actually strengthens our willpower. What does that look like? It looks like God bringing his superpower into our natural ability so that we can experience his supernatural power in our abilities. And we all have a measure of self-control. We all have a measure of willpower, but then God comes along with his fill power, and what he does is he increases and strengthens the willpower in our lives because we don't want to be molded by the pressure around us. We want to be formed by the power that is within us. You see, whenever you get to the second part of Romans 12, verse 2, it says this: don't just be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love this other translation. It says it this way: don't be shaped by the world. Instead, be changed from within by a new way of thinking. Be changed from within by a new way of thinking. There's a quote from a man by the name of William James. He was an American philosopher in the 1800s, and he said this: the greatest discovery of my generation is that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitudes. He said, this is the greatest discovery of my generation. Remember, 1800s here. That a human being can alter his life by altering his attitudes. Now, here at North Point, we know what attitude is. We define that all of the time. And we define it this way, that attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. An attitude, it is the way that we have settled into. It is our settled way of thinking about someone, our settled way of thinking about something, whether that be your past, your present, your future, whether that's the way you think about yourself or think about God. This is what determines, this is what makes up our attitude. So here in this quote in the 1800s, he says that a human being can alter his life by altering his attitude. What he's really saying is that you can alter your life by the way you think about someone and the way you think about something. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be a slow learner. And I think that we can say that as humanity, we can be slow learners sometimes, because this quote from William James was some 3,000 years after King Solomon, who the Bible says was the wisest person that ever lived, after he penned these words in Proverbs chapter 4. Above all, be careful what you think, because your thoughts control your life. King Solomon said, be careful what you think, because your thoughts are going to control your life. He didn't stop there, because in Proverbs chapter 23, he says, for as a man thinks within himself, so is he. He's saying that we literally become who we think. So be careful what you think, because it is controlling and directing the course of your life. So we know that our thoughts are certainly important to our life. And we, like William James would say, wow, okay, some 3,000 years later after Solomon, it is not his generation that discovered it. God has known this from the very beginning. The power of our thoughts. So if we know that our thoughts are important, we know that they are vitally important, we've got to ask ourselves, how do we allow God to change our thought processes? How do we begin to think new thoughts? Well, see, what we have to do is we have to combine the Holy Spirit within us with the Word of God, or the Bible, in front of us. You see, when we combine it, this is a powerful combination for transformation. When we have the Holy Spirit working in our lives and we put the Bible before our lives, it is a powerful combination for transformation. Why? Because the Holy Spirit illuminates what we are reading, gives us understanding of what we're reading, and not just that, the Holy Spirit also gives us the power to implement it. So the Holy Spirit comes to eliminate, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside to help us implement, to put into practice in our lives what we read. The Bible is full of inspirational stories. The Bible is full of instructional principles that help us to see things differently, which is going to help us to think differently, therefore help us to live differently. Now, whenever I read my Bible, I'm not just checking a box to be a good Christian. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to get out of my box of my old way of thinking. I'm not checking the box to be a good Christian. No, I'm trying to get out of my box of my old way of thinking. Why? Because I want to begin to think like God. I say, wait a minute, think like God. No, see, that's what it says. When we say, I want to have godly thoughts, that what that means is I want to have God-like thoughts, which means I want to think like God. Why do I want to think like God? I want to think like God so that I can be more like God, so that I can live the life that God created me to live here on this earth. You see, we go into Psalm chapter 119, and this is what the scripture says. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. See, the psalmist says, I love your instructions. Well, when he's saying I love your instructions, what he's really saying is I love reading your instructions. I love hearing your instructions. I love your word. And then he goes on and he says, and I think about it all day long. Come on, you can't meditate on what you don't initiate. You got to put it in your mind if you're going to be able to think about it all day long. And then he goes on and he says, your commands make me wiser than my enemies. Come on, the Word of God is going to be your advantage. Reading the Word of God gives you an advantage to life. Why? Because God is telling you how he created you to live. And then he says, and your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. You see, God's word changes what we see, and it changes how we see it. The Bible shows us how to navigate life. It showed that the Bible is our guide through this thing that we call life. And over the next few weeks, this is what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how do we navigate these things that we are dealing with that are so prevalent right now in our world. How do we deal with the disappointment and discouragement? How do we deal with the uncertainty, the anxiety, and the fear? How do we deal with the loss? How do we deal with the change? How do we deal with the strain in relationships? How do we deal with these things? You see, this is what I want to be talking to you about. I want to help you because, listen, we're all in it. But here's what I want to know. Are you in it to win it? I know that we're in it. We're all feeling the strain. But are you in it to win it? Because you can win. You can win. Come on, you just need to type that in the chat right now. Come on, just say, I can win. You need to tell yourself, I can win. I'm not going to lose. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going down. I can win. All right, as we wrap up today, let me give you three practical steps that will help you change your thinking during this season, which will actually determine how you come out of this season. The first step is discovery. The second step is decision. And the third step is declaration. Discovery, decision, and declaration. So what do you mean by discovery? Discovery happens whenever you are reading something, whenever you are listening to something. Discovery happens when you are making some new observations. You know, people call it having an epiphany, right? It's a moment of revelation. It's the moment where you all of a sudden understand something that you didn't understand. All of a sudden, you are given some new information and you see something that you have never, ever seen before. And when that happens, you begin to realize that your life can be different. I love what Marcus Aurelius says, and he says, our life is what our thoughts make it. Our life is what our thoughts make it. And you see, right now, maybe you're having that epiphany. Right now, maybe you're having that discovery. Man, I never realized the power that my thoughts have over my life. Or maybe we go to what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. And he says, I have come that you might have life, that you might have it to the full until it overflows. Jesus came for us to live the abundant life. And so you begin to think, wow, man, my life can be different. Wow, things can begin to change. I don't have to stay in the same routine. I don't have to stay in this same pattern. I don't have to live in this prison. I can break out of my old way of doing things and I can experience a brand new life. That's all part of the discovery phase. Then we move into the second step, and that is decision. Now, this is a powerful and very necessary moment. This is when I say, I want that life to be my life. I want that life that I heard about to be my life. I want that truth that I read about to be my life. I want that life to be my life. This is where we cross the threshold from what could be to what will be. From what could be to what will be, because I have made up my mind. Can I tell you, there is so much power in a made up mind. I love what Brian Buffini says. He says, if you're giving up, your mind is not made up. If you're giving up, your mind is not made up. Jesus said it this way. He said, you cannot put your hand to the plow and then look back. Because when your hand hits the plow, you have got to have already made up your mind. This is the direction that my life is going. This is who I want to become. This is how I want people to remember me. This is the difference that I want to make. I have already decided. Now, let me just say this. The decision doesn't equal perfection. The decision simply sets my direction. The decision does not mean that I'm not going to make mistakes. No, listen, after I make the decision, you're still going to trip and fall, but you've got the direction that says I'm going to keep getting back up and trying again. It says that I might fail along the way, but I'm not going to be defined by my failure. Instead, I'm going to get back up, dust myself off, and I'm going to continue down this road that I have already decided to walk down. Which brings us to the third step along the journey. After we've been through that discovery phase, after we've been through that decision phase, now we get to the declaration phase. We get to the step where we begin to declare over our lives who we will be and the direction that our life is going to go. You know, the Bible tells us that there is the power of life and death in our tongue. Our words are so incredibly powerful. This is why North Point Declaration, we say a declaration before the message, we say a declaration at the end of our Sunday services, because me and Destiny know that our lives were changed and transformed through the power of declaration. So we didn't just hold on to this ourselves. No, we brought these declarations to you. That's why every Sunday we say, I am a child of God, because that's a powerful declaration. It is a reminder of who you are, and it's a reminder of where you are going in your life. But me and Destiny didn't just bring it to the church. No, we've brought it to our children. Our children say declarations every single day. Now, after our girls have said their declarations, this year I added something new for them, and they had to pick what they were going to say at the end of the declaration that they say together. And Julietta decided that she was going to say this: I can, I will, I must. I can, I will, I must. And now whenever Juju says it, I just want you to know that she doesn't say it quietly. She doesn't whisper that part of her declaration. No, Juju will blow your eardrum out. Her little six-year-old self will scream with all of her might, I can, I will, and I must. What is that telling her? I can make a difference. I will make a difference. I must make a difference. I can change. I will change. I must change. Now, my 9-year-old Carolina Lee, she decided to put this at the end of her declaration: nothing can stop me today. Nothing can stop me today. What is she doing? She is reminding herself about the power that lives on the inside of her. She is reminding herself about the direction that she is going. And she knows that all things are possible to those that believe. And she is declaring, nothing is going to stop me today. I'm not going to let anything get between me and the destiny that God has in my life. And she is speaking it out loud every single day. You see, these three steps that I just gave you, these steps were the steps that I took. These are the steps that changed my life: discovery, decision, and declaration. You see, I made a discovery as a teenager. I've shared many times before about how introverted and shy I was as a child. But whenever I became a teenager, I had an example, somebody that made me feel so special, somebody that made everybody around them feel so special. And I said, man, wouldn't it be awesome if I could do that for other people? And then I said, you know what? I would like to do that for other people. It was an epiphany for me. It was a revelation for me that, wow, I have the power to make other people feel the way that this guy was making me feel. But you see, that discovery is not the finale. No, that's just the beginning. Then I had to make a decision. And I had to decide, that's not who I want to be, that's who I will be. And I had to go through the uncomfortable moments of forcing myself out of my shell and out of my shyness, forcing myself into conversation. I had to get okay with the butterflies in my stomach. And let's be honest, in the beginning, they were more like hawks than they were butterflies. I had to be okay I had to get comfortable being uncomfortable, if you would. And I had to make that decision. This is who I'm going to be. This is the direction that I am going to go. And then I had to begin to declare this over my life every day. In moments of weakness, I declared, no, we are going to be this person. In moments that I wanted to just say, no, this is too much for me. I'm going to retreat and go back to who I used to be. No, in those moments, I had to say, nope, I'm declaring over my life, we are going to be a person of impact. We are going to be a person of influence. We are going to lift other people up. We are going to use this life to influence and impact the lives of others. That's who we're going to be. You see, that was my process. That was the steps and the phases that I walked through to have my life transformed. But it all started with my mind. I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to refuse to be molded by external pressure. Refuse to be shaped by peer pressure or near pressure, to be shaped by the pressure that people are putting on you or your current circumstances putting on you, and decide, nope, that's not for me. I will be molded and formed by the internal power that is within me. I'm going to allow God access into my thoughts. I'm going to allow God to come in and to begin to change the way that I think so that God can change the life that I am currently living. You see, maybe today, maybe even in this message, it was part of a discovery moment for you. Maybe for the first time you thought, wow, I never realized the power that my thoughts had over my life. Maybe right now it's even moving into a decision moment in your life where you say, wow, that's not just the life that I want to live, that's the life that I will live. That's not just something that I want to look at and say is possible. That's actually the life that I want to live out. Maybe you need to move into that declaration where you actually speak out of your mouth and you say, I have made my decision, but now I'm declaring it. This is who we will be. This is who we are going to be in this family. This is who I am going to be as a person. And you begin to speak that out loud and you begin to walk through this process of transformation. You begin to change the way you think in the moment so it will change how you come out of this season in the future. I believe that this is one of those moments for you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.